Okay, so we're at the Oxford Ice Rink for Oxford City Stars against Basingstoke Buffalo.
Yeah.
Is that right? The Basingstoke, the Buffalo and Basingstoke?
I think they were the Buffalo. I saw you win the title there last year. I was down with a merry band, which was fantastic. Did think they were the Bison. I don't know why.
The Bison. I think that's the same thing, isn't it?
Is it?
How do you tell the difference between a buffalo and a bison?
Well, you can wash your hands in a bison.
Damn! Hey, do you know what? We didn't set that one up.
That's right. Clever. Anyway, cut, let's start again. Yeah, start again. Who we got around the tables today?
Right, okay, so my name's Andy Roberts, as ever, and that was with the top gags. It is Selfie on my left-hand side. Hello, Selfie.
Oh, I'm fine, yeah, thanks.
Good stuff. And boys, introduce yourself. Firstly, yourself.
Darren Turner.
Darren, hello, Darren. And you, so you were at the Burton game yesterday,
yeah.
But word is you can't remember an awful lot of it.
No, all I can remember was the goals.
You remember the goals, so that's all right, that's a start. That's two bits of information.
Yeah, it's terrific.
It's more than I'm going to offer today.
It's in 90 minutes, that's all there was. Carrying on, what have we got on this? What have we got to my left?
Matt Davis,
now you go quite a bit, but you didn't go yesterday.
Charging, work Saturdays.
You work Saturdays, so you try and get there, right. But you're also big Oxford City Stars fans.
Yes.
So this season, let's just have one touch on the Oxford City Stars early doors. Defending their title, National League 2. As a fan's perspective, right thing to stay in 2?
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
Good, yeah. To build it up and go with some momentum. Yeah. What about you? Do you think
if we had gone up, it wouldn't be worth it. We just can't afford to compete in that league this year.
Right, so that's it. We'll square off about the...
It's quite interesting, actually, isn't it, though? Because you get the opportunity to do that in football. You don't get the opportunity. How many clubs go up into from League 2 to League 1 or whatever, then have an absolute torrid time, come plummeting down, then go straight back down to the conference?
Not the ones we normally want to come plummeting straight back down, in fairness.
Right.
No, yeah. But
Crawley and Stephen are just still there, aren't they?
Yeah, Crawley and
the other ones.
Roundabout town.
Yeah.
Yeah, for... Right, let's be honest with you. Let's talk about Oxford United's fantastic start. We'll start with you on my left. What do you think? Is it there? Are you happy?
Yeah. If we're off this start of the season, no one thought it was going to happen.
Really. Right, okay. What about you, young man?
Yeah, definitely.
Have you got a headache after yesterday? Because you were
seriously... No.
That's what you did in the pub all afternoon anyway.
Hair of the dog.
Oh, flat out again.
Don't mention hair again. Don't mention the hair again in front of Andy. But Andy,
come on. I've got plenty of hair, just not my head.
Absolutely, yes.
But that's a good point, though. The point you make about if we'd been offered this position at the start of the season, we'd definitely have taken it. Because we talked last podcast how we always felt a little bit down, didn't we? We weren't all that optimistic, and we couldn't work out why that was. Off the back end of another away performance, all of a sudden we're optimistic again. Because we're great away from home.
I stood in the coffee shop this morning and somebody asked me about it, and I went, I can't believe I'm moaning and where we are. And there was, the first 35 yesterday was, forgettable for you, young man, because most of it was, and then we had the sending off incident, we picked up,
Did anybody see that, then?
Yeah, it was a red card every day of the week. It was one of those where he extended his leg and went to kick Dave Kitson, and as soon as he did that was a red card offence. Regarding the pushing from Dave Kitson, the guy's on the floor, so he's just pushed him backwards, and I just don't think anybody could say it wasn't a red card. Rennie Howe was fortunate as well.
I was going to say, because he was should have been a second yellow card and challenge on Andy Wing. I was sat there watching it on Twitter as well, and everyone just basically saying the referee's bottled it, because he'd already sent one off and he didn't have the guts to send another one off.
Well, he refereed is any of this coming back to you now?
Because
I know you were...
What happened next?
What happened next was a half-time game, and then we sort of went on to score with Alfie Potter. What happened for you when Alfie popped that ball on the back of the net?
Jumping around, yeah. Sobering up.
It does a little bit of, every time a cop comes, a little bit of adrenaline seeps through, doesn't it? Have you been to football with you, man?
Yes, yeah. I was at the Portsmouth game start of the season. So.
Yeah, and you can remember it.
Yeah,
a lot of people. Oh, you had to drive.
I got offered a ticket at 9 o'clock in the morning. So.
Oh, right.
That's a bonus, isn't it?
That's a bonus. Yourself a driver. You are loving this, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's quality. You drive, because I just don't learn to drive, that's what I say.
That's what I've been doing.
Either that, if you're on a Saturday morning, start drinking at 9 a.m, and then I can't possibly drive, sorry, I'm really drunk.
Yes, absolutely, because you shouldn't get in a car. You should if you're getting a lift.
Yeah.
But, there we are. So your feelings on the season so far? You've got to be happy where we are, but have you been overly enthused with what you're watching?
apart from yesterday, it's been all right.
Well, you can remember. Is there like a steady pattern there? It's pretty much every game. Match day comes around. But like the home games, for example. I mean, I've been to a couple of away games and all the home games, and the home games have been fairly sort of dour. Even the Bury victory wasn't sort of the most inspiring game, was it? And I do wonder if that's going to have an impact in terms of attendances and stuff if we continue to be rubbish at home. We're avoiding defeat,
and I think the positive people take out of it, would you not agree, is we haven't been beaten.
Exactly. We might be playing rubbish, but we're still getting results.
Yeah. And do you honestly believe the Oxford Mail reports?
I don't read it.
Oh, so I was going to say, because I'm just a bit worried, because you don't know what happened on the day, and then you have to read the Oxford Mail reports, which are, DP, Mr. Pritchard's a million miles from what really happens, I tell you.
But
I didn't say that.
He listens to this as well, actually.
Oh, right.
I spoke to him at the Wickham game.
He's just texted
me. The Rochdale game. This isn't live. That's not how it works.
Oh, is that right?
That wasn't him complaining.
I was hoping.
Yeah.
But it's somebody else.
No, you're right. He listened to the first one anyway. He's
good.
Very impressed.
He was very impressed.
No, he didn't say that. Actually, I asked him what he thought, and he was nice. He was respectfully quiet on the subject.
He gave us a... of basically what he wanted us to hear.
He just didn't give us an opinion, basically.
A bit like the old dirt paper.
But he's a nice chap, though, isn't he?
He is.
He always takes his packed lunch.
He does. He always wears those blue trousers and that blue jacket. Looks like he should be working for the RAF. But let's... it's not going anywhere here, is it? So, anybody impressed you in the season? What do you think of Dave Kitson, just for argument's
sake? He looked good in the Portsmouth game. It's the only game I managed to see this season.
All right, he looked good in that.
Because it's against his old team,
yeah. What about you? What do you think?
Alfie's playing a big part.
Not quite the same as his goal a couple of years ago when he danced through thousands. Brilliant commentary by you, Mr. Roberts, that day.
Was that?
When he danced like he'd done a pasodoble through the
defence. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was right, wasn't it?
He did okay yesterday. He drove it in, bit of deflection and went in.
He's having an impact now, isn't he? I think he's grown in stature in terms of his role in the football club. I mean, it's what? Actually, I'll just consult my stats. Yeah. 139 appearances now for Oxford. Only 18 goals, actually. Although three of those have come this season.
Could have been 36 goals. I still remember Southend away 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's a card. Yeah, nightmare.
Didn't he meet?
But I think he's having more of a positive impact. I think he's starting to.
He is certainly playing very well, and central defensive is looking really good. I'll tell you about this. Johnny Mullins and Jake Wright yesterday were impressive again.
Yeah.
And bit of a worry at 1-0. I felt maybe that we've gone back to the old we can see this out. And we can't actually see out 1-0, although we
particularly not against 10 men either.
No, it was a bit of a worry. You've watched the home. You've watched the table unfold. Do you think it's going to be a similar season for most sides through a tough old grind?
Yeah, I can see it being that way. It's going to be. I think those Chesterfield only just beat Accrington yesterday, so.
Yeah.
Accrington have an absolute nightmare. It's 1 point, isn't it, from 6 games? They are having a torrid time.
So I will predict that Accrington indeed won't win a game until they play us.
Yeah, right.
I agree with that.
We are the record breakers, aren't we?
Are we going there first, or are they playing with us?
Oh, I don't. With last 2 games of the season, we'll need 6 points to win the title, and they'll turn us over 4-5-0.
And you'll be feeling nil on the car on the way up.
No, I've got to go back and visit the baby. That was so bad. I've got to go and film Sonic very, very shortly. So just want to go back to these two lads who are dual fans, as we all are now, with the Sydney Stars, Basingstoke Buffaloes. This is before the face-off. Give us a score. You going to win tonight?
Yeah. 8-2.
8-2?
Yeah, definitely. Win on the cards. 7-3.
Final question for you. 7-3. Why are you not completely obliterated like you were at Burton yesterday? Is it something about ice hockey that says keep your wits about you?
No, I've got 10 o'clock. I've got to be sober.
I've got to go and film Sonic, so we've all got crosses to bear today.
Yeah.
So we'll come back in a minute.
Yeah, we will come back in a minute. Cheers, boys. Thanks very much.
Yeah, cheers.
Okay, so, basically my life is complete because I just took a photo of Michael Dubry and Sonic the Hedgehog, so I can die happy now.
I have to say the footwork and the legs on Sonic the Hedgehog were not very good. I think, Mike, your legs were better.
Not really impressed. I mean, I've played with Sonic many a time on my Sega Mega Drive and Xbox, but
person. Yeah. It's that hero thing, isn't it?
When you when you meet your hero, it's like, it's just not, like, yeah, not the same, not the same.
Not the same at all. But we are joined by the hero for us, that is Michael Dubry, who joined us on the Big Banana last year and has agreed to come back and have a little chat about all things Oxford from a distance, no doubt.
Yep, how you doing?
Yeah, we're doing very good, actually. So it's not as much fun sitting here talking into this thing as it was before, where we sat on the ground
and that pitch in
front of us. But it's okay, we're here at
some
the
biscuits in front of us and that.
Yeah, do you know what? We should have done that, shouldn't we?
But anyway,
we were just talking just before we hit the big red record button on there about what you're going to do sort of future-wise, do, because I read on the BBC website that you're contemplating hanging up those boots for the final time. Where are you at with that?
I'm still contemplating it, but I've got to make a decision because the belly's getting a little bit bigger, so I've got to weather this. But I'll keep myself fit, but I am really contemplating that decision, whether to look to the next phase of life. And see where I go with it. To be fair, with the way I keep thinking and contemplating, I love football, I've said it before, but the next phase of life quite excites me in the direction that I want to go. You know, it excites me of what I can do, and like football, when I first started it, throw myself 110% into it and see where it takes me.
You are incredibly sport-based, aren't you? If you're not in the gym with the boxing, because you do that, you know.
Yeah, I love sport, and with the boxing, it gives me that competitive edge, and you know that obviously to unleash a bit of frustration as well. But that competitive edge, I love my sport. I say I find myself here at hockey game, my first hockey game. I just love sport in general. I left, but I was watching the Formula One, a bit gutted for Lewis, the best run. And then it might be a bit of the US Open later on. So, you know, I do love my sports.
With the old boxing bag, the old big bag, do you like punch it like it could be an old manager that's got me?
Yeah, yeah, not an old man, yeah, yeah. You know, the old put a face on it.
Yeah.
Can we beep it out though? Yeah, no.
No, fair enough. But I mean, you know, you've come down here. You're having a look at the. I think you've had a chance, and we won't preempt your little piece in the paper that you're doing. But you've been down there to see the guys in the changing room down here.
Yeah, I mean. To be fair, it works for me in lots of ways. Helps me with my writing, and to try and challenge myself into talking about something different that's not football. It just can't be like me and my experience. It's going to be something different. To experience something else, you know, it was very much different being in that change room. I didn't understand a word of the team talk, by the way. But I understand a few of the languages the same in any sports. You know, the F word is very popular.
Flip, I know. Yeah. So much.
So, you know, so it's just going to... It's something to challenge myself, to see something new. And I think it's important because this is... the way it's explained to me, these lads are playing for the city. So I think it'll make for a good bit of writing if I get
what
it right.
A link. Playing for the city. Screw North. Fancy a bit of that. Obviously, City not having a great start to proceedings at my own. Mike Ward. Might do with shoring up that rear guard. Do you know what I mean? I might be able to put a word in for you.
I don't know. We'll see. Might do.
There we are.
Oh, a bit of exclusive there. I like that. Yeah. Okay. We might.
A bit of positive vibes. Liking the old gear there.
Yeah, I know. I thought it's a photo opportunity, isn't it?
Oh,
so,
yes. No, I'm into that.
Do you know what I mean? I wonder if Sonic sound the same thing. What is positive vibes? Could be a new Sonic game.
Could be. Like there's that. Always an angle.
There is always an angle. Anyway, let's talk about Oxford United, because I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to go and see Oxford yet, but so far this season. Well, you know, you've been in there in the change room the last couple of seasons and stuff. What's your expectation? What do you reckon Oxford can achieve this
year? I've said at the beginning of the season, my expectation is I expect Oxford to be in the playoffs at least, the very least. I hope they go up, but I do expect them to be in the playoffs. Been a great start for them, sitting second. But I think, you know, you can't read too much of that, you know, the same way as if they've been second from bottom. You know, I wouldn't say that's where they're going to finish off. So it's a good start now. The good thing is to maintain that. You know, bad start last year and try and play catch up now. They hopefully can maintain that and keep momentum. They're in the habit of winning games and everyone seems full of confidence. Hopefully they can maintain that.
A lot of the you'll know about this because obviously you had the end of the season which didn't work out too well in as much as you were released from your contract came to an end. A lot of clubs in League Two seem to have like a strong 12 or 13 now, backed up with a lot of development players. It's you know, and you've said as you've walked around and looked at football since then, it's a difficult game now to sort of one, retain a position in,
yeah,
and also to get back in anyway.
Yeah, football's always been a thing. Once you're outside that window, it's hard to come back in, because this is a continuous conveyor belt of, you know, young people coming in, so you can be replaced. And with the budgets in football now, especially at this level, clubs will look to youth to save money and hopefully to produce, within hopefully with a means to sell them on and make money for the club. So, you know, once you're outside of that circle as such, it's hard. So to retain your place in this level is hard. You go into a big pool of free agents, which then, you know, you can be left for ages in there. You know, mm-hmm. you see in the summer, one of the biggest names, you know, Carlton Cole, was mm-hmm. playing yeah. Premier League, and, you know, free agent, but then no one snapped him up. Finances is a big thing nowadays, and it's, you know, the lower you get down, even though you're not looking for loads, but there's always someone that will undercut you as far as, you know, and that is the youth. They look to the youth, and this year Oxford looked to the youth, but the difference is I think they've got a great setup of youngsters, which is a good thing and a thing they should have done a lot earlier.
Actually, I think a lot of Oxford United fans like to, I mean, to see Callum O'Dowd has only played the one sort of game up here.
Somebody
Charles
that might just put his arm around and talk to a lot.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, from the young players that you saw there that coming through, who really kind of impressed you?
I'd say my standout was Callum, and I say that just from the fact when I joined the club and his willingness to learn, to improve from the first season to the second season. You know, just him saying, you know what, I want to get physically stronger, and he did that, I want to be better. You know, I just say stuff to him like, practice your crossing. I mean, if you practice crossing every day after training. And I say this, you know, no one in Oxford United would argue, if there's one person when you're in the canteen having your lunch that you'd see out on the training ground every day would be kicking the ball, would be Callum. The first one you see out there doing his stuff with Callum, and he's a good lad as far as he'd get his duties done, he'd do his stuff. And, you know, I think he was an example, but there's a few more in there. And Ty, I think, can be, you know, he can go as far as he wants to go, as far as, you know, potential. You know, that's down to him, whether, you know, he has to then be grounded and listen, and he has to put a red dot on the back of Kit's Bino and say, you know, I want your spot, and have that sort of mentality that will take you, that hungry drive that take him to the next level. And there's a lot of them in there that I think can have that sort of stuff.
This week I tweeted, I think I sat on Monday night and said 624 million. How many English players made up £624 million worth of that transfer pool that went out? And then we've had Greg Dyke saying 2022 we're going to win the World Cup. You know, how tough is it for kids nowadays to come through the system?
It's very tough. I mean, it's going to be, I think it's the English youngsters are going to go down a different route to get into the Premier League clubs. I think they're going to go the hard route to get in there. And the thing that will block them is if you're a good youngster, your club will put such a ridiculous price on you that you won't go anywhere anyway, because you're English and you're talent. Now, you know, you've got clubs like Chelsea, my club, but in their youth system, they will go out and get an Italian to groom in their youth system. Again, blocking the path even further for an English lad to get through. And most of it, like Chelsea, has been a club that's always produced youngsters, always got the, like, coming through. Before my school, there was the Jason Cundys, the Graham Stewart, the Frank Sinclairs. West Ham are a team, Man United, Liverpool. But then you say, where is it all going to come through? Because teams now want immediate success, and immediate success means we have to go and buy an international star to get immediate success for the money we're playing. So where do the young English get into this? You know, how, you know, you've got to be better than international to break into your team, your League Cup maybe, but even then clubs still need success and they need time to win.
On the end point of that, just because I know Andy's got more stuff for you, just going back to that, is it harder for a League 2 manager or a League 1 manager under a bit of pressure to look at Michael Dubry has played 5 million games, he's on the books, and then a youngster of 19 years old, and think, you know, because we did have a manager in the past who will remain nameless in the past, I mean, who had a crop of youngsters, which include the Welsh fullback, Sam Ricketts, Dean Whitehead, Simon King, Chris Hackett. We had all these players coming through, a good crop of players, but he'd always put the 350 game man in ahead of this youthful talent because it always seemed to me as though he was a bit frightened of the result. And to a degree, Callum O'Dowd and a young lad, Ryan Williams, at the moment, Ryan seems to get on first when everybody's screaming for Callum. You know, is it hard at lower level?
I don't know if it's harder. I think there's demands in all levels for managers for success, League Two, promotion, and move the club up. But I think if there's a if you've got a chairman saying, "Hey, we've got a 2-year plan, and I want, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time, us to produce and have a team of 5 or 6 youngsters coming through," then I think it'd be, you know, okay. Then you get your core, you have your sprinkles, youngsters. I think you can do that. I'm not saying, you know, your team for the youngsters, because I think it'd be harder for them to come through that, and it'd be like more damaging than good. But if you've got a core of, you know, your 300 games, your senior players, you know, and you've got like your sprinkles of youngsters, embedding them and giving them the game through the season, I think it could be done, and I think you can have success with that. And I think then they get experience and you keep reading it through. But again, you know, people want success. League Two, the managers mostly want this, their stepping stone to try and get up. So they're thinking, I just want immediate success. If I get success, then a higher club's going to take me because I've done really well and I'm not into this plan. Personal opinion that sometimes maybe there's less coaching going on or development going on at certain levels that, you know, to try and help produce kids through.
Well, we know Mr. Lennigan's looking at that. It's a great shame because I've always thought you've been when I've interviewed you in the past, this is not blowing smoke. I've always thought you've been a very positive lad. I've seen you with the youngsters, I've seen you work. It's a shame you're not doing that now, Andy.
You know, yeah, getting the chance basically to pass that experience on, right? But just to bring it all sort of full circle back to the start of the conversation when we were talking about retiring. The headline this week for Oxford United is that former Oxford man Damien Batt has hung his boots up. Now Damien's got, you know, he's got his business interests and stuff. But I mean, he left, well, he was released from Oxford United and struggled then to find a club that suited him. And I just wonder if you had any thoughts on that.
Because again,
he's only 28.
Yeah, it's a shame, but I think maybe, you know, like a lot of things, he must have weighed it up. He's obviously got his project going on outside, which has been successful for him, and he might have weighed up the time that I'm gonna and the level I'm gonna play to what I'm gonna do. I might as well put everything into my next phase of life, which is a shame because again, he's fit. He's only 28, but in this day and age, I think the average career is 8 years in professional football.
Right.
So isn't it like you're going to get like a 12-year career? I mean, I've been fortunate and blessed that, you know, I've seen out professional forms like 20 years of football, but the average career isn't that long. It's a shame because last time I read he was in Vancouver, like hopefully in MLS getting something. But for him to hang up his boots, you know, I don't think it's an easy decision. And people will say to me, play as long as you can. And, you know, that's in my thing. You know, once it stopped. And, you know, you always think, you know, I just want to get all the football out of my system. It never about my system. I didn't want to be that grumpy old lad. You know, I'm better than him. And, do you know what I mean? On that sort of stuff. But it is a shame about Bats retiring because, again, he had a lot to offer. But maybe he's thinking, I'm retiring, I'm happy, and this is my next phase of life, and I'd rather be in a suit.
Well, you can't retire, okay, Michael? I'm just telling you that straight.
I might
be making a few phone calls on your behalf, Seth.
We'll see.
Good stuff. Well, cheers, Deeves. And then we'll pause there for a little bit, and then we'll come back in a bit and round things up. Cheers, Deeves.
Yeah, cool.
Well, Michael, just so we're now joined by Swiss Yellow, who's like brought everything together for us down here at the ice rink. What's the score, by the way?
3-0.
We're 3 up already.
Three up already.
Now, we've just been talking to Michael Dubry, Sir Michael of Dubry,
yep.
Who was talking about youngsters coming through in the game. One of the big questions I want to pop to you is Oxford City Stars, who you've got a massive link with, as well as Oxford United. They're trying to drive at local players playing for their local club, and we've been talking with football how hard it is to attract or get people through. What's the theory that's going behind Stars at the moment?
So what we're trying to do within Oxford is we don't have, shall we say, a huge arena, a big barn where we can come and get 6,000-7,000 people through the door, which financially supports a club, enabling you to bring in players, right? Buy players and purchase players. So what you need to do is make your homegrown talent work. So the way we set about things in Oxford is to make sure we're putting through the best possible talent we can. So we try and make experiencing the game of ice hockey as best as possible. We have a free stick and puck session every Sunday at 4:30. People can come down, and you know, anybody under the age of 16, have a go for free, get all the kit. But what we really want to do is bring those youngsters through, get them into the first team and get them playing. We're surrounded by teams in a higher level. Teams that are, shall we say, in a better financial state than we are. So we're in a situation where we want to be able to bring players in, enable them to play. And the thing we're growing here is a sense of pride about playing for the city, which is very important.
Now, Michael, you've been adopted everywhere you went. I don't think, when I look at your followers, Stoke City, Chelsea, Leeds, you're a legend everywhere you go, and you're a legend down here because you've fantastic first season, blighted by injury in the second season, but I know you always gave 100%. You know the youngsters. We've spoke about the youngsters. Yeah. Callum, David Lim, Sam Long, Aidan Horton, all coming through. Jason Roberts and co. and Tyro Marsh. You know, you hear that. And do you think that's the future for English football as well? That the local sides have got to bring the local talent through and give them a chance?
Yeah, I think that's their route. I think whereas before, you know, kids have maybe the option, you know, local or, you know, going to a bigger name team. I think the best route would be their local team. If my sons now were to get into football and were a chance to go to my beloved Chelsea or go to an Oxford, I'd push them towards Oxford and I'd say go there.
Yeah, because you just said your beloved Chelsea. There's always that one club that grabs your heart straight away and it stays with you forever. And we all know that. But not today, you're Oxford. All right, but no, generally it is that, though, isn't it? You've got to give them an opportunity.
An opportunity, and I think I say that because the best chance for a youngster now, with all the, you know, we've just seen the summers, the transfer window spending and the amount that are coming from abroad and the English that play in the league, you know, you're not gonna get that opportunity. Yeah, you have the big crest and you have the association with the big club, but as far as playing, you know, you wouldn't get that. 21-year-old at Oxford would have maybe hopefully like 25 league games under his belt. A 21 at Chelsea would have none, might get a League Cup game, but then he'd be out on loan. So then all of a sudden now their paths meet, and when they do meet, you know, at the, say, the Championship level, and they're 24, the 24 that come from Oxford's got like 150 games.
And one of the people actually that does have a link, and I don't want to talk to you because it'd be unfair, Josh McEachran is currently you know, at Chelsea. He's been out on loan a few times. A lot of people want him. But it's almost, you know, from an outside perspective, you know, some Premiership clubs I'm sure would like Josh. Chelsea don't play him, but they don't want to let him out either. But just turning it on the flip side, we've got a youngster out there today playing at the back, defensive linesman, who's come up through the ranks. Mm-hmm. How hard is it for the Stars, now they've made a decision after winning National League Two, to retain their bright prospects with big sides around?
Well, the more successful you are, the more likely other teams are going to come and have a look at you. But the sort of the similar things happening with British ice hockey is happening with English football. And that is, at the top division, the top level, I would say 80% of all the players are not British. So the top division, the one with all the money, is filled with foreign stars. So the route through for a British player is very difficult. So on the international stage, Britain is floundering, really. It needs to step up, it needs to be given the support. But as a nation, we're not going to succeed at the Olympics, and being at the Olympics is the window for ice hockey. And that's the thing where the sport in this country will grow, is during a Winter Olympics, you get a British team in there, support will go through the roof, because people don't really know it exists. They've heard about it, they'll watch NHL, but they won't go to their local rink because they don't think anybody goes, they don't think no one's there. You know, we've got, you know, over 350 people in at the moment. That's a great little attendance for us start of the season. Just getting that sort of group grassroots level support is what we need. And a club like Oxford, by giving your youth that support, will initiate the sort of, how shall we say, loyalty that Dubes has mentioned, that you get a player who will come and you'll get your first chance at your local club, and that will then form a bit more of a cohesive, you know, plan of success by having those youngsters there.
And Michael's career is one that you could show anybody in any walk of life and say, look, worked hard, went through and climbed the ranks.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about that, your next step you're talking about, you know, I'd still think you should be keeping those boots on as long as possible. But when you think, is that something you're looking at, maybe getting into bringing people through, or is it something else? You know, up your sleeve.
I've always said, you know, the coaching route, I don't think is my thing. I coach when I was playing. It's something I love. I love helping. You know, when I was a player, you know, I looked at the different pros and the pros that helped me. The David Rocastle, rest his soul. The Mark Steens, the Gus Poyet, like, so helpful. Marcel, does it look helpful? And then you've got the other pros that, you know, didn't help me through. So I always said to myself, I'm going to be like them pros. And every time as a youngster, I help him. So one day he's going to look and say, I want to be like Mark Doobie, he helped me. And I've always tried to do that. But post-football, I like the route, and I'm going that route of the media sort of side of it. I've got my journalism side of it. I love the writing side that, you know, brings me here today. Hopefully, you know, try and do something on my experience here today. And obviously, maybe the TV side. But my aim is to do the journalism side first and create a name for myself in that sort of line of work. And if the TV work comes with it, then so be it. But I like the idea. The pen is a powerful tool, and, you know, but played, I know them some journalists that they've stopped a couple of moves, but yeah, I like that idea, so that's in my head, but, you know, who knows.
And you've had Pete James, you've had Michael Downey, he's been in the change rooms and seen the difference between an ice hockey changing room and a football, but so apparently the language is very similar.
I would imagine the language is very similar.
They
use
the same sort of word, word.
The difference is you've got guys here who are paying to play. You know, they're amateur level, but I'm sure they don't say anything different. The language is the same, the sort of camaraderie is the same, the coach's instructions, although a little bit different in ice hockey. You know, it's all the same sort of stuff. And I just thought it'd be an interesting angle to get Doobs down and have a sort of look, because he's hugely, you know, illustrious career at the professional level. And then just have a look at, you know, because these are guys who are giving everything for their city and for their county. It's just interesting to take that sort of viewpoint.
Now, I played a very low level of football, but I still know that the changing room before a game is just full of anticipation, nerves, everything, isn't it? Is that something you often hear about pros that finally say, boots go up on the peg, that you're going to miss?
Yeah, I miss that, that sort of, you know, obviously the day-to-day banter, you miss that. That, you know, I love going up, driving up to the stadium for a game, going in and just getting ready, you know, putting my boots out, shin pads, doing my, you know, my ritual, getting ready. Even like, it starts on a Friday, do you know what I mean, for me, like the way I eat.
When you didn't put your tweet saying head shape, game
yeah,
face
yeah,
on,
yeah,
we
yeah,
knew you
yeah,
weren't playing.
Yeah.
Cheers,
do you know
mate.
What I mean? So,
you killed a lot of Oxford fans on a Friday, that, I tell you.
So I loved all that preparation, and then obviously going out in the tunnel and just, you know, looking at them coming out their change room and just thinking, all right, yeah, you're going to get a game today. And I just love all that competitive edge. Yeah, I miss that. You know, watching football, I watched, I tell you what, it hit home the other day when I watched Super Sunday, and I think it was Man United, Liverpool, yeah. And just, you know, see Gerrard and Van Persie giving each other, thinking, I was like getting tingled, thinking, go on. I just that whole, you know, the game, I miss that sort of side. But at the same time, for myself, you know, I've sat back, you know, I've got them great memories in myself, and I just wait for, like, you know, them golden era games come on Sky and yeah, there's me. But no, I love it. But yeah, I'm going to miss. There's elements I'm going to miss. Listen, I've not made a decision, but it's more swaying towards that sort of side. But again, I say it with a smile, and you know, I'm quite content if it was to say there's no more football, because I'm quite happy with it. But if there was more, you know, we'll see. But it has to be something that's going to make me smile to play.
But you're down here today, supporting the Oxford City Stars. It's great to see you back in the city of Oxford, isn't it, James?
Yeah, we had a local Oxford City Star stalwart called Trevor Joseph, who started playing around your age. So if you want to strap on some skates, Doobs, there's a career.
I can't skate unless all the action is by the side and me holding onto the rail.
In fairness, you've already shattered his dreams. Sonic wasn't half what he thought when you met him in the flesh. Yeah. It's that hero worship thing.
Yeah, thinking, I thought he's bigger than this.
He's too quick, that's the thing.
I was just waiting for him to jump up and get those rings and that little tingle again. Anyway, it's a pleasure to talk both City Stars. We're going to go and watch some ice hockey now. And Michael, thank you very much again for your time, and hopefully you'll come back when we drag you down again for more of a chat on Oxford United. And well, you'll be playing for City then, won't we? Sorry, Mike. Right, I'm joined by, what's your name, sir?
Josh Oliver.
And how many goals do you get today?
Four.
Big head. Four goals in a 12-1 drubbing. Yep. Of Basingstoke. Big message being sent out as your title defence starts.
Well, yeah, we've got to make a big message. We've got to go out there. And we can't be going out there as half a team. We've got to be full team, offence and defence.
Pretty impressive, though, wasn't it? I was at Basingstoke last year when you won the title, you clinched the title. It's a lot harder. You've had a couple of warm-up games against sort of in challenges. Yeah. Kept you in good stead to start the season flying.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a good warm-up. They were hard teams. It sort of set the pace. Got us training well, and we've obviously been away on the ice training hard and making sure we're ready for our first game.
Now, four goals, which one was the sweetest for you?
I can't remember. Yeah, you have to play it back to me. I can't remember.
We'll have to have a look at the, you know, you'll be sat pouring over YouTube no doubt when the goals come up. Yeah. But no, it was an impressive performance, and as you say, we've all heard about the fact we're staying down a division, we're defending our title because there's lots of money at top, we want to build up and get going. As I say, you've got to be careful if you win too many good games because the big boys have come swimming in the big pond.
Well, I mean, we're quite confident that we're gonna work hard. We're gonna put all the hard work we get on the ice. We're gonna get it on there.
So yeah. Well, I spoke to Darren Elliott, and he gave us a little bit of a chat before the season started. Showed me that you had a tooth miss and everything else, and he was very confident. So you've got to live up to that hype now.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't. It's a lot of talk. You can't go out there thinking, okay, we're gonna do all right. We might win. You've got to be 100% the whole time.
Now, the kit, I've got to say, just got to mention your kit now. The kit makes you look obviously very strong, a lot of padding, all the rest of it. But those socks are straight out of your granddad's drawer, aren't they?
Yes.
They are certainly not yours, are they?
No, they've had a lot of experience, and that's where the experience plays in.
Like Billy's boots, we got Josh's socks.